Remember what I said earlier about charities in Europe? This is it. January 1983, the Temple Mount Fund was established in Israel, Europe, and America to, this is its sole purpose, to raise funds for rebuilding the Jewish temple on the site of the Masjid al-Aqsa. The temple cannot be built without the destruction of the Masjid al-Aqsa. Israelis attempted to enter the mosque. 6 months later, they were acquitted in Israeli courts. June 1988, Israeli troops stormed Masjid al-Aqsa, firing tear gas into groups of worshippers. More tunnels were discovered. 6th of October 1990, Israeli troops opened fire on worshippers, murdering 22 Muslims in the masjid and hundreds of wounding hundreds of others. March 1996, Israel again reopened tunnels under Masjid al-Aqsa. You know, this is very serious, the tunneling. As I said, this is a grand plan. You weaken the very foundations of the Masjid al-Aqsa. Which is that the buildings collapse, you never allow the building to be, the masjids to be rebuilt. Nobody can be blamed. Oh, this was the hand of God. A natural disaster. It was in this masjid many years ago when I gave a speech on Masjid al-Aqsa, I mentioned that there were credible reports in Israel itself, in the Israeli media, that the Israeli army, one of the plans was to, astaghfirullah, the Negev Desert, in Israel itself. Many of Israel's nuclear facilities are in the Negev Desert. And there were plans to cause nuclear underground explosions. Because Masjid al-Aqsa is on a fault line. It's on a fault line. And some of the buildings have been damaged in the past, mix and the after effects. So there was talk of a plan of creating underground explosions in the Negev Desert, whose shock waves would cause the buildings of Masjid al-Aqsa to collapse. Some of the other plots. Radio-controlled planes. Jewish extremists went as far as devising plans, and actually, they had their plans with them, of ramming Masjid al-Aqsa with radio-controlled planes. In fact, one Israeli army officer, he actually stole an Israeli Air Force plane with the sole intention of a kamikaze attack on Masjid al-Aqsa. Wallahi, this is serious. This is serious. And we all know what happened at the beginning, or in September 2000, and this is what created and launched the second intifada, Ariel Sharon, current Prime Minister, who today, I believe, is in America to meet Bush, to discuss peace, undoubtedly. He's in America to meet Bush. And one of the plans of these Jewish extremists to gather around and in and around the Masjid al-Aqsa is to coincide with the visit of Sharon so that this issue can be highlighted. So Ariel Sharon in September 2000 invaded Masjid al-Aqsa with a 1,000 strong security force trampling across the sacred floors of the mosque. Astaghfirullah, many people died on that instance. These are just some of the attacks that have taken place on the Masjid al-Aqsa. Astaghfirullah. Remember I said earlier that Jewish rabbis, leading Jewish rabbis, they want the destruction of the Masjid al-Aqsa and its replacement with the Temple of Solomon. Well, this is in August 1967. Chief chaplain of the armed forces. He later became Israel's chief rabbi. He was a chief rabbi only of the armed forces. But then he actually became the chief rabbi of the whole of Israel. Can you believe it? Imagine the Archbishop of Canterbury saying something like this. He's a chief rabbi of the whole of Israel. He led 50 armed extremists into the masjid and said it is a holy commandment for Jews to go to the Muslim grounds. And then later, writing in an Israeli publication, he actually said, many rabbis, being the chief rabbi himself, many rabbis, including members of the council of the chief rabbinate, support Jewish sovereignty over the Temple Mount. April 11th, 1982, Alan Goodman, an Israeli citizen with a US passport, he marches into Masjid al-Aqsa itself with an M16 rifle and opens fire on worshippers, killing two Muslims and wounding others. After a short sentence, the Israeli government releases him. Unrepentant, he boasts, "I fulfilled my mission." And these are Americans. Baruch Goldstein was American. Alan Goodman was American. Where are terrorists bred? On July 25th, 1982, Yoel Lerner, a member of the militant Amir Kahani Kach movement, I don't want to burden you with statistics. Like I said, these leaflets are available outside. There are many other leaflets. These are just two in the series of leaflets. These are specifically about the arson attacks on Masjid al-Aqsa. And these aren't just arson attacks. Remember, there's a difference between arson attacks and terrorist attacks. An arson attack is when you intentionally attack a building to cause it criminal damage. But here, the most you're talking about, someone pelts a stone and smashes your window, that's an arson attack. We're not talking about arson attacks here. We're ramming Air Force jets into Masjid al-Aqsa. We're ramming radio-controlled gliders and planes into Masjid al-Aqsa. Taking dynamite close to the Masjid with the intention of blowing up the Masjid al-Aqsa. Storming the Masjid grounds with armed Israeli security forces by Jewish chief rabbis with the sole intention of blowing up the Masjid. This isn't arson. This is terrorism of the first order. So, consult these leaflets, read the others as well. I won't burden you with the statistics. Like I said, this is just a sample. Wallahi, this is just a sample. And many non-Muslim, non-Arab, leading Americans also, and Europeans, have studied this phenomenon of the danger of Masjid al-Aqsa and the threats to Masjid al-Aqsa and some of the plans that have been devised in the past. Extensive plans. Do you know how far their plans have reached? This is how, astaghfirullah, this is how asleep we are, how ignorant and neglectful and heedless we are. On the one hand, Masjid al-Aqsa. I've been to Masjid al-Aqsa. The ulama weep. One of the imams was telling me that, wallahi, he says, we haven't even got enough funds to maintain the toilets of Masjid al-Aqsa. And Masjid al-Aqsa doesn't have toilets. They have about a few years ago when I went, Masjid al-Aqsa had approximately, I remember correctly, there were somewhere in the region of about 30 toilets. 30 toilets. And do you know, Masjid al-Aqsa, the grounds are larger than even Makkah and Medina. Strictly speaking, people ask this question, can you call Masjid al-Aqsa the sanctuary haram? Strictly speaking, no. For the simple reason that Allah made Makkah sacred. And that's why it's known as a Masjid al-Haram. Allah declared the sanctity and the hurmah of Makkah. Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam also declared a portion of Medina to be sacred, and he made that the haram. With the permission and the authority of Allah, that's why it was known as the Haram. That has never been done by Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam specifically for Masjid al-Aqsa. So strictly speaking, you cannot call it the Haram. But figuratively, everything that applies to the sacred nature of Makkah and Medina applies also to the holy sanctuary of Masjid al-Aqsa. And there is no harm in still giving it the name that all of us give, that Allah and His Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam given, Masjid al-Aqsa. But going back to what I was saying earlier, that there are many leading non-Muslims, non-Arabs, who have studied this threat to Masjid al-Aqsa. And as I was saying, they've gone so far. The Imam of Masjid al-Aqsa was saying that for 30, how large is the Masjid? Larger than even Makkah. It's absolutely massive. Forgive me if I'm wrong, but if I remember correctly, the space of the Masjid al-Aqsa, the floor space, you know how much it is? Approximately 144,000 square meters. That is huge. Larger than even the Haram of Makkah and the Haram of Medina. It's absolutely massive. It takes you more than 10 minutes to walk from one gate to the other, from the front, from the back to the front of the masjid. And as Maulana was explaining earlier, you know, the buildings, there are different buildings. You've got the Qubbat al-Sakhra, the Dome of the Rock. You've got the masjid which is built at the front, which is one of the masjids. Okay? You don't have to have a building for that area to be called a masjid. Allah called it a masjid even then when there was no building. Because the whole area, the whole land, the floor, the ground is the masjid without a roof. And inshallah, we pray for the day when Allah wills, and if the Muslims see fit, that al-Masjid al-Aqsa will be covered from end to end. But even now it's beautiful. There are gardens and lawns and trees and olive trees within the grounds of al-Masjid al-Aqsa, and every inch of it is the masjid. So the whole masjid is under threat. And you know how far their plans have gone? They've even prepared the curtains and the carpets. The colour of the carpets and the curtains have already been decided that would go into the masjid. Children who would become the future priests have already been placed under training and secluded from the rest of society. Even the incense that would be burnt in this temple, the third temple of Solomon, has been purchased and prepared and stocked. Even the incense. And here, they have the toilet facilities. Wallahi, we see with our own eyes people having to perform istinja in the grounds of the masjid. Whilst I was standing there, there was a machine, there was one of these small machines. There was a person on there, and he was cleaning the sweeping the masjid, outside, in the outside area. Do you know we've only got one cleaning machine for that whole masjid? One cleaning machine, maybe it's one of these industrial machines that someone sits on, like one of these small tractors, buggies, and he was cleaning them. And I was standing there with the imam, and the imam pointed to the machine and he said, "Do you know how that machine was purchased?" I said, "No." He said, "Wallahi, the women folk of Jerusalem, they gave their bangles and their earrings and their necklaces, and with those bangles and earrings and necklaces, the machine for cleaning Masjid al-Aqsa was purchased." That is the state of the masjid. Inna lillahi wa inna ilayhi raji'un. We can build millions of masjids all over the world. Nothing will ever compensate for the loss of Masjid al-Aqsa. I'll end, I've taken up enough time, I'll end with just a few, with the mention of a few, well, I'll end by mentioning a few virtues of Masjid al-Aqsa that were not mentioned before, so I won't be repeating myself. First of all, remember which masjid we are speaking of. Masjid is often referred to as the first Qibla, the second Masjid, and the third Haram. Maulana extensively explained the part of being the second Masjid, first Masjid was Masjid al-Haram, the second Masjid was the Masjid al-Aqsa, being the first Qibla. When Salah was revealed upon to the Muslims did not face Makkah al-Mukarramah, they used to face Jerusalem. They used to face Bayt al-Maqdis. They used to face Masjid al-Aqsa and perform their salah. It's our first Qibla. It's a sacred area. It's only one of the three masjids to which a journey is allowed with the intention of performing salah therein with the hope of receiving increased reward. People say, "Oh, mashallah, I went to Samarqand, and I went to Lahore, I went to Agra, and I went to Delhi, and I went to Qurtuba, and I prayed in the Jami Masjid." It's not permissible to go to a masjid with the intention of performing salah therein, travelling exclusively with a dedicated mission. Because there is no increased reward in any masjid if you actually travel to that masjid with that intention. There are only three masjids. Imam Sayyidina Abu Hurairah radiallahu anhu, another Sahabi radiallahu anhu, also reports from Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, hadiths to be found in virtually all the books of hadith, including Bukhari and Muslim. لا تشد الرحال إلا إلى ثلاثة مساجد المسجد الحرام ومسجد الرسول ومسجد الأقصى. That one cannot travel and make a journey. One cannot. It is not a journey is not to be undertaken to any masjid except three masjids: the Masjid al-Haram in Mecca, the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Madinat Munawwarah, and the Masjid al-Aqsa in Bayt al-Maqdis. Umm Salamah radiallahu ta'ala anha relates in a hadith recorded by Imam Ahmad ibn Muhammad in his Muslim and also by others Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, من أهل من المسجد الأقصى بحجة أو بعمرة. Whoever puts on the ihram from المسجد الأقصى either for Hajj or for Umrah, غفر الله له ما تقدم من ذنبه. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his past sins. That's just for putting on the ihram from المسجد الأقصى. And the Sahaba radiallahu anhu fulfilled the sunnah. Sayyidina Umar ibn al-Khattab radiallahu ta'ala anhu, not only did he conquer المسجد الأقصى, but he acted on this hadith and he put on the ihram and then traveled all the way to Makkah al-Mukarram. And in one narration of this hadith recorded by Ibn Majah in his Sunan, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, whoever puts on the ihram from al-Masjid al-Aqsa, either for Hajj or for Umrah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will forgive all of his past sins. And the words are, وَوَجَبَتْ لَهُ الْجَنَّةِ, and Jannah becomes obligatory for him. Alhamdulillah, we have that opportunity. Look, make the intention the next time when you go for Hajj and Umrah, try to go by putting on the ihram from al-Masjid al-Aqsa. It's not easy. Undoubtedly, you will be harassed, you will be persecuted, you will be pestered, you may have to wait around at the airport, you may even be refused entry. What's the harm in trying? They're not going to kill you, are they? And what a reward. By doing this, we will strengthen the cause of the Masjid al-Aqsa. And as Marna was saying earlier, the tears of the Masjid. Look at Makkah, look at Medina. Billions of pounds of investment. Beautiful cities, and rightfully so. And may Allah increase the luster and the illumination of Makkah and Medina. But we wish to see the same from Masjid al-Aqsa. The poor Masjid. We don't go, why? We fear harassment. People say, look, you know, when it's conquered, inshallah, then. When it's conquered, there was a Haji, he was with us in Umrah. Very old. And there was an alim with us. And this old Haji, every day he used to make a dua that Allah take me away in Medina, Allah allow me to die in Medina, Allah allow me to die in Medina. Always made that dua. And just before we were about to return home, he did some serious shopping. So one of the ulama said to him, that Haji, every day you pray for death in Medina and you're shopping wildly. He goes, no, not this time, next time, inshallah. I want to die next time, not now. Same we say, inshallah, when Masjid al-Aqsa is conquered, then we'll go and perform salah there in Allahu Akbar. When Masjid al-Aqsa is conquered. When Masjid al-Aqsa is conquered. But it's not going to happen just like that. It's like putting the bell around the neck of a cat. Who's going to put the bell? Who's going to fasten the bell? Just because we fear harassment at the airport, we fear a few more hours of waiting because of security checks, we fear the verbal abuse, or the discomfort of travelling, but that's no reason to avoid Masjid al-Aqsa. All the more reason for undertaking this blessed journey. It becomes more important and imperative for us to do so. And to earn this reward, Allah will forgive us our sins, inshallah, grant us entry into Jannah. We'll be following in the footsteps of the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum. We'll be visiting the Masjid al-Aqsa, the land of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam, the Masjid of the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam. One or two other rewards and virtues of the Masjid, Allah will put this very beautiful hadith. All of us should memorize this hadith. It's a hadith related by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Muslim from Maymuna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, not Maymuna, the wife of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, but another Maymuna radiyallahu ta'ala anha, sahabiyya. The hadith is from Maymuna, the mawlat al-Nabiyya sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. She said, I asked Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Aftina fi bayt al-Maqdis. Ya Rasulullah, aftina fi bayt al-Maqdis. O Prophet of Allah, inform us about bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, Ardul Manshari wal Mahshar. Bayt al-Maqdis, Jerusalem, is a land of reckoning and resurrection. Ituh wa sallu fi, فَإِنَّ صَلَاةٍ فِيهِ كَأَلْفِ صَلَاةٍ فِي مَا سِوَاهِ. Travel to Bayt al-Maqdis and perform salah therein, for a single salah in Bayt al-Maqdis is equivalent to 1,000 salah elsewhere. So Maymunah radiyallahu ta'ala anha said, Ya Rasulullah, أَرَأَيْتَ مَنْ لَمْ يُطِقْ أَنْ يَتَحَمَّلَ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ يَأْتِيَهِ. Maymunah radiyallahu anha said, Ya Rasulullah, what do you say about someone who cannot travel there himself, and not just travel there himself, but who cannot even be carried there? Allahu Akbar. She was suggesting that if you can't travel there, you should be carried there. أَرَأَيْتُ مَنْ لَمْ يُطِقْ أَنْ يُتَحَمَّلَ إِلَيْهِ أَوْ أَنْ يَأْتِيَهِ. Now, Prophet of Allah, what do you say about someone who cannot travel there himself and who cannot even be carried there? The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, فَلْيُهْدِ إِلَيْهِ زَيْدًا يُسْرَجُ فِيهِ فَإِنَّ مَنْ أَهْدَى لَهُ كَانَ كَمَنْ صَلَّى فِيهِ. Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the least he should do is donate some oil to be burnt in the lamps of Masjid al-Aqsa, for he who even donates a gift to Masjid al-Aqsa is like one who has performed salah there. This is a hadith related by Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal in his Muslim. Brothers, this is our duty. That hasn't even been said for Makkah or Medina. Give money to Makkah or to the Haram of Makkah or to the Masjid of Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam Medina. This virtue has not been mentioned even for those two masjids. Allahu Akbar. And I end with one thing. We should have hope though. We should have hope, but don't just become complacent and rely on hope. Make our contribution and be hopeful in the mercy and the power and the qudrah of Allah. And we should give credit and we should support the victims of the oppression and the victims of this occupation in and around Jerusalem. And we should support these suffering Muslims who, like I said earlier, they are suffering because of the Masjid al-Aqsa. They are in the first line of defense. They are in fact doing our job for us by defending the Masjid. Today, those who have stood and camped and spent the night in the Masjid al-Aqsa, forsaking their families and their dunya, maybe even with the intention that if we are killed here, we are killed. They are defending the Masjid al-Aqsa on behalf of the Ummah. And I end with one hadith. I'll just mention the hadith and translate it. And Allahu Akbar. Imam Ahmad ibn Hanbal rahmatullah alayhi relates a hadith in his Muslim in which Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wasallam says, the Sahabi radiyallahu anhu says that the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, لا تزال طائفة من أمتي على الحق ظاهرين لعدوهم قاهرين لا يضرهم من خالفهم إلا ما أصابهم من لأواء حتى يأتيهم أمر الله وهم كذلك. Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, there will always remain a group of my ummah firm and steadfast upon the truth and dominant over their enemies, except the occasional inconvenience and pain that they may suffer, and they will remain lightless, i.e. they will remain dominant over their enemies, but they will still suffer. But their suffering will be for the sake of Allah. And they will remain like this until the decree of Allah comes to them. So the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhu said, قُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ أَيْنَهُمْ قَالَ لِبَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ وَأَكْنَا فِي بَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ. We said, O Rasulullah, where are they? Where will they be? Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said, in Jerusalem and on the outskirts of Jerusalem. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect al-Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala strengthen, fortify, and honor those who have devoted their lives to the protection of al-Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala thwart the plans of the enemy. May Allah terrorize the terrorists themselves. May Allah reverse the roles and visit pain and suffering upon them who seek to harm the Muslims and destroy al-Masjid al-Aqsa. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala once again give all Muslims on the globe the opportunity to perform salah in peace and serenity and in control of al-Masjid al-Aqsa once again before they die. May Allah Azza wa Jal give us the tawfiq to be sincere, to remain sincere. May Allah also protect the property, the wealth, the iman, the faith, and the dignity and honor of the Muslims in this country also and elsewhere. Sallallahu wa sallam ala abdihi wa rasulihi nabiyyina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi ajma'in. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk.
And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, we pray for Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He accept the dua that Abdul Mawlana has just made now. The problems have all been highlighted, and I'm sure everybody here would like to certainly do something about this. And I also realized that the time has come and lapsed quite a bit now. So because of that recognition, I think the holdings that we had actually made will have to be cancelled this time around. But inshallah, we might even publish it later on for the benefit of everybody. Right now, to exactly tell us what to do or what can be done from here in England, I call upon Ismail Adam Patel, who is the founder of Friends of Al-Aqsa Leicester. Ismail Adam Patel had actually started this work of approximately 10 years ago. And what made him start was the suffering that he saw when he actually visited the land of Palestine and Masjid Al-Aqsa himself as well.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. My respected ulamas, brothers and sisters in Islam, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh. I realize we've taken a lot of your time, jazakallah khairan to be with us. If we needed to increase the volume after Sheikh Ahmed Ali Saab to listen to Sheikh Riyad, I think for me you'll have to open up your ears as well. So I seek your attention for at least 10 minutes. I realize Hazrat has also come and he is not very well. Despite his illness and his difficulties, he's been with us, so I'll bear that in mind. So please do give me your attention. This part is the most difficult because unfortunately we Muslims have built up a psychology, a belief that we should only pursue things of which we have immediate success. So either we want to gain something immediately and go after it, or do nothing. Because success is not within our sight. And this has been one of the major reasons why we have hidden behind reasons to protect Masjid al-Aqsa. To arouse that within us and to point a finger to us is very difficult. But as the vision of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, as mentioned by Sheikh Ahmed Ali Saab, that even in the time of Medina, he was telling the Sahabas of a time of liberation of Al-Quds. The unity that was brought by Salahuddin al-Ayyubi, rahmatullahi alayhi, is all that is lacking in us. It's not that we do not have a strength, but the ability, or the means. Because we have got all that. It's that we have a lot of ambition, the drive, and the desire. That has been quenched away. And that is what we need to learn. And what Sheikh Riyaz said, we have to work within the legal framework of this country. We're not going to ask you to do anything illegal, but do something. And stop looking over our shoulders from some help, from some Arab state, a Muslim country, a big sheikh. Those days are over. The question each and every one of us must ask and pursue on is, what can I do? And do what you can. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will not ask you that in your time, a king of X country, why didn't he have this election? He will ask you, what did you do for it? And you and I have to be answerable. And we are doing a few little things, nothing great, and I beg, I would like to come and shake each and every hand here in this masjid today to say, please join us, and let's expand on this work. The first of which is 5 years ago, a boycott campaign was launched in the House of Commons in London, in the Parliament. And I am ashamed to say, I sit in the masjid and I say, I'm ashamed to say that the Muslims are the least active. Boycotting companies. This campaign has been taken up greatly by the wider British community. Companies like Marks & Spencer, the manager of whom was awarded the highest prize by the State of Israel. Companies like Coca-Cola. And I say this with a heavy heart, those who drink Coke might as well drink the blood of the Palestinians. Your money, we cry here today about Masjid al-Aqsa. This company supports the organizations that want to blow up Masjid al-Aqsa. And we, our pennies, our pounds, are going to that end. Don't think your one penny is insignificant. The whole apartheid South African regime was brought down because of a boycott campaign. Pick up the leaflet from the back. I'm not going to go through the list. We need to become very active in this front. Make boycott your central, pivotal point in which Muslims and non-Muslims of this country should be geared towards and activate this. It will become for our benefit more than anybody else's. Once we become conscious and consumers, we become aware of what is right and what is wrong. And we need to do that. In this, I ask you, and I beg you, again, without any hesitations, to help the new branch that has opened up in Bradford, the Friends of Al-Aqsa Bradford branch, and assist them in any way or means you can. Distributing leaflets, holding events in other societies, going out into town. We have today approximately 15 cities in this country, 15 cities, where every Saturday for 2 hours, people stand outside Marks and Spencer's and give out leaflets. And you know what? In all these 15 cities, not one of them is a Muslim. All non-Muslims are doing it. Why can't we do it? Why can't we do it? It hurts me. When non-Muslims come to my office, ask me for leaflets, saying we're going to be standing outside Marks and Spencer's, distributing this. The time, my brothers, is for us to act. The second is media campaign. We all complain that the media is biased. We all complain that it is telling us the wrong stories, it's misinforming us. How many of us actually write to the media and tell them that they're telling us the wrong story? I went to the director of BBC, who's responsible for Middle East news, and he told me, point blank, whenever we run a story that is balanced, he said balanced, we have thousands of email and phone calls from the Zionist lobby. When we run a story against Palestinians, nothing happens, so we think we're doing right. Who do you represent? Where are your people who are complaining? Don't complain to each other. Complain to the people who are misinforming us. You think this is insignificant, my brothers and sisters? We will change the attitude of this country. Don't buy the papers that are blatantly anti-Islamic, Islamophobic, and anti-Palestinians, or pro-war. This is something which we can do. Each and every one of us here can act on this. We will not liberate Palestine tomorrow because of that, but we'll be putting little pebbles that will eventually hold or build a mountain. One person described Friends of Al-Aqsa, and I'll say it not because I want to boast about it, but it gives an example. He says, Friends of Al-Aqsa is like the little pebble in the shoe of the Zionists. He can still walk, but he feels the little pain. And that is the pains we need to create. Each and every one of us. And through this, inshallah, all the fadail that has been talked about, the history, the heritage we have, can be regained for us. Two further things. Sheikh Riyad, towards the end, ended with a beautiful hadith about putting up an ihram in Masjid al-Aqsa. I'm glad to report today to you that inshallah from Bradford, there will be a group going soon, as long as we get enough brothers and sisters. On April 23rd, there will be a group going to Masjid al-Aqsa. Anybody who is interested, please come to Imam Sahib, give your names, and make as big a group as possible. And let's hope you'll do this annually. And build up, not only in this city, pass it around. Pass it around. These are practical measures which we have to do. Go there, build the love of Masjid al-Aqsa. Maulana mentioned, I started this work because I went there and I saw it for myself. And Allah gave me the tawfiq. I hope there's hundreds of branches of Friends of Al-Aqsa up and down the country, throughout the world inshallah, so that one day somebody, some leader will emerge and liberate Masjid al-Aqsa. The question you need to ask is, what legacy do you want to leave for our children? Think, my brothers. My grandchild, your grandchild, will go to a school soon. And he will be taught the history of Muslims. And he will be told that there used to be a place called Jerusalem, in which lived 4 million Muslims who were tortured, harassed, killed, and had no access to their holy sites. my grandchild and your grandchild have a right to ask the teacher, were there no Muslims in the world at that time? The teacher will say, no, there were lots of Muslims. There were 1 billion Muslims around the world. No, then the child will ask, were they poor and oppressed as well in the rest of the world? The teacher will say, no, they were very affluent and rich, especially in Britain. They had political power, economic power, they had mental ability. So what happened? How was it possible that 5 million Zionists oppressed a whole people of 1 billion Muslims? The answers I leave it to you, my brothers and sisters. This is what we need to ask ourselves. I would also like to make 2 further requests. First is to join our website. It is absolutely free. And the benefit for this is we do campaigns every now and then, especially if there is a story against Palestinian or Muslims, or recently you might have heard there was a case against Friends of Al-Aqsa when they closed their account. We needed a lot of help. We need a lot of people to write letters, send out emails. If you join our website, we have a big database and we can be able to inform you, like what has happened this weekend in Palestine with the attack on Masjid Al-Aqsa. We need thousands of letters to our ministers in this country to say that they should raise this in the parliament. At least increase the awareness. And that can only happen if we, the British people, prepare, show that we are concerned. If we do not, nothing will happen. I'd like to mention 2 other things. There's an organization which works with us called the ISM, International Solidarity Movement. Again, this organization which is at the forefront as a peace activist. The British and Americans go to Palestine and stand in front of Palestinian homes that are about to be demolished by the Israelis. And they have stopped many being demolished. And most of you must have heard that the 2 people who have given their lives for this cause are non-Muslims. Rachel Corey from America and Tom Handel from London. Not a single Muslim has been sent on this. We need to ask, I'm sorry to upset you after this talk, but we need to understand our positions. And if we do not do anything, then we will not be able to leave the legacy that we have inherited. And that is our final duty, I believe. And finally, I would like to ask you, those who wish to join the membership of Friends of Al-Aqsa, please do that. It is not because of the money, it's only £10 a year. But what it does, it opens up a lot of doors for us. Recently, I've just spent some time in the Far East, and I regularly visit the British government. Usually, the first question they ask is, what is your membership? How many people are you within your Friends of Al-Aqsa organization? The higher the number we have, the greater the authority I, or anybody who represents Friends of Al-Aqsa, can speak on. And therefore, we need as many people as possible. So Maulana will talk about the forms. Please take them on and fill those in. So I hope inshallah Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give me the tawfiq to act on some of the things I've mentioned and give us more ideas and go forward from this. Jazakallah khair. In the mosque.
I make a few announcements. The set for today is Bayan from Two Shades, will be available for next Friday. Then the order forms outside, you can take them with you. The application form I mentioned, this yellow piece of paper, please take one with you. If you cannot finish it, give it to some other brothers and ask them to fill it in. There's also lots of papers for free outside. Please take them with you, read them, and pass it on.
إليك ربي فحببنا وفي أنفسنا وجملنا ومن سيء الأخلاق فجملنا وعلى صالح الأخلاق فقمنا وعلى شراب شكوه ثبتنا وعلى دايا دايق أعداء الإسلام فانصرنا اللهم انصرنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم انصر لنا ولا تنصر علينا اللهم زدنا ولا تنقصنا ولا تسلط علينا من لا يرحمنا اللهم اشرح صدورنا للإسلام اللهم حببنا إلينا الإيمان وزين قلوبنا وكره منا الكفر والفسوق والعصيان اللهم اجعلنا من الراشدين اللهم اجعلنا حاكمين مهتدين لك طالب لا مضلين سلم يا ولا بعض ولا ضال نحبك بحبنا حبك ونعادي بنا خان خلقك اللهم هذا الدعاء اجابه وهذا الجهد اليك الطفلان اللهم يسر امورنا في الامور كلها واجبنا من كل شيء وعذاب الاخره اللهم صل حينا وميتنا وشاهدنا وغائبنا وصغيرنا وكبيرنا وذكرنا وانثانا اللهم لا يهمنا فهي الاسلام ومن توفيته منا فتوفه على الايمان اللهم بارك لنا في الموت وحينا بعد الموت اللهم اعنا على غملات الموت وسكرات الموت اللهم حفظ الموت لا نفسنا محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم اللهم إنا نسأل رضاك والجنة ونعوذ بك من النار وصلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه ونور عشي سيدنا محمد وعلى آله وصحبه أجمعين سبحان ربك عما يصفون وسلام عليك والحمد لله رب العالمين ورحمة الله ورحمة الله